Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. While I'm thinking about it, Brother Joey's going to be preaching tonight. So you be praying for him. And this ain't his first rodeo, so he's going to bring you some stuff. So make sure you get back tonight and be coming, be ready to be blessed. And this morning, way of introduction here this morning, I just want to... I was talking to somebody not long ago, and we were talking about church, and they said they were telling me where they went to church and some different things, and we got talking about churches, and I made the statement, if I didn't go to a church where there was something more going on other than just coming in and doing whatever it was to do to just spend your time to make you feel better about yourself and make you feel like you're not a bum or a bad person and you didn't really have no point to church or anything like that, I said, I just wouldn't go. I just wouldn't go if it wasn't something that I believed in. And I've always, no matter what I've done, I just want to do a good job at it or figure out the best way to do it or do it as good as you can do it. That may not be true all the time. I'm sure there's times that I've worked that I wasn't all jacked up about doing a good job if I was tired, cleaning my room, stuff like that. But when you want to do something worthwhile, you just really want something that's that means something to you, and you want to do a good job, and you want it to work. And when I got to Trinity Baptist Church, there was a lot of questions that I had in my life that I didn't know the answers to. And I would ask my parents. I was talking this morning in Sunday school about one of the best ways, one of the things that you can do with your children to help keep them in the fight is show them why they believe what they believe. There'll come a point when they're 4, 5, 6, 7 years old and you tell them what the Bible says and tell them this is what it means and that's what needs to happen. They'll agree with you. They'll believe it. They'll never doubt a word you've got to say. But there'll be a time when they're 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, they begin to question things. And they're going to come to you and they're going to want to know answers. Well, why do we believe this? And why do we believe that? And I can remember getting to that point in my life and nobody having answers for me. And I didn't really know what I believed and got to the point where I didn't care what I believed. And I got out in the world and those types of things and went to the military and lived, I'd say this, I just didn't live like a Christian. But there was always something inside me. It was the Holy Spirit that gave me a yearning for something that was real. And I remember one time just getting to the end of my rope. I don't even know if it's the end of my rope. I was looking around at life and just thinking, you know what? Surely there's more to it than this right here. Is this the way? Am I going to be just like these parents? Am I going to be just like this home? Am I going to do this? Is this the way it's going to be the rest of my life? I just want something different. And I want to be different. And I had some desires and some things that I saw when I was young that I wanted my life to be like, but I had lost that desire for that. And when I met Beth, I started coming to this church, and I began to get those things answered. And when I got those things answered, it was like, this is good. It just really encouraged me. So you need to know what you believe and why you believe it. And when your kids come up and say, well, why are we right and everybody else is wrong, you've got an answer for them. And when they come up with some of the questions that this world is going to give them, you need to have those answers. And you need to be able to show them in the Word of God so they'll be able to have something to defend, something that they can stand on, the words of God. And when I got to this church, I began to realize it's different. And they put your faith in what the Word of God said. It wasn't what tradition was or what you always heard or what some kind of myth you always heard or all that stuff. It was always about putting your faith in what the Bible says. And it's done its best over the last, I know, since I've been here, just watching it. And I know before that too, just trying to line up with what the book says and do what's right regardless of the consequences and just stake it all to the judgment seat of Christ. And what you got is you got a church that's like that. And if you decide to figure out, you know, if people begin to talk about what a church is supposed to do and what it's for, the scriptures are pretty simple about it. The local church is made, this local church right here is made for basically three reasons. The reason we come together is for three reasons. Number one, it's for edification, edifying saints. It's for trying to build each other up. Amen. It's for evangelizing sinners. And it's for exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And I've watched it through the whole time I've been here, that the preaching, regardless of who it is, whether it's me or it's Brother Dilbert or it's Brother Gary Boyd, what goes on in this pulpit is the exalting of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There are messages and messages where people brag and praise the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what it's for, exalting Him. It's for evangelizing sinners. And when you begin to talk about evangelizing sinners, there's different ways you can do it. You can do it personally, you can do it publicly, or there's planned ways of doing it. And one way personally is just talking to people. And as a local church, you sit here and you think, okay, here's what I got to do. And you are encouraged to do that personally, to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ and about their soul, regardless of people telling you, well, you need to leave people alone and you're bothering people and all that stuff. The same people think it's okay for telemarketers to call you. They think it's okay to, you know, I had a, during this liquor by the drink, these got these teenagers out last Sunday before the vote and sent them out house to house and went to one of the places where they had one of the people that was involved in getting it there. And I tried to remember where those places was and tell them not to go to them just to keep those kids from getting in an argument. But I'd forgot about this, and they'd got to this house, and evidently this guy was offended, and he wrote something on his little computer deal there, whatever, about somebody came and tried from Trinity Baptist Church, some teenagers, and tried to change their belief. And I got thinking about who was where and where I sent them, and I'm thinking it was, it had to be one of four people, and it was four teenage girls. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, are you kidding? Yeah, you talk about making yourself look bad as a man. You got offended because four teenage girls come to your house. But at the same time, the same guy, I heard a story about that guy, and that he had went to somebody's house out in Huntsville that they were telling me a story about him, and didn't even know this was going on, and came to his house and tried to get him to vote yes on liquor. And that's the way that stuff goes. You know, they'll tell you, you know, don't witness because it's going to bother this person. Don't witness because of this. But they're just hypocrites. But they do the same stuff. And regardless of that, you still need to evangelize sinners. Talking to people, handing out tracts, that's personal stuff. Publicly, you need to be out. We need to be out as a church doing things. We do that on the street. Do it on TV. Brother Gary Boyd's been preaching for years on the television. We've got radio. We've got newspaper articles that publicly a local New Testament church needs to be getting the gospel out, trying to evangelize sinners in those ways. And then another way is planned, just things that we plan to be able to evangelize just for evangelistic purposes, such as missions, all those missionaries we got there. We got a missions conference, a planned time where we get together and try to plan finances and try to plan who's going to come in and where they're going and what they're going to be doing, what type of missionaries coming in. It's all for the purpose of getting the gospel around the world to evangelize sinners. Different things of like you got the jail ministry. You got people in here that's going to go to the jails. They go to the jails every week, and you don't even think. A lot of times we don't even think nothing about it. Maybe when we pull a prayer list out and we begin to pray or something like that. But there's times that I can remember when I was running around Scott High Drive. I'd be running around Scott High Drive late at night on a Monday night and see Brother Blake pulling out or see Sister Katie's van over there. And I know there's different times they go to different places. It's all for the purpose of evangelizing sinners. And you can plan things. Plan things like the fifth quarter, vacation Bible school, church camp, wall builders, the youth conference that we had, the bus ministry, the school ministry that we got going on where we're trying to get into schools and evangelize sinners. That's what a local New Testament church is supposed to be doing. Amen. It's doing things like that. When I begin to look and just conservatively start to count about the souls that's been saved in just this year, you know, I know when we had that youth conference earlier in the year, I know there was at least 10 people saved. I know at least 12 at Vacation Bible School this year. There were two at the fifth quarter. I know there's been at least over 10, I would say, in the jails. I mean, that's conservative. I bet you there's probably 20 through the whole year with where they all go, Miss Juanita, Miss Katie, and Brother Blake, and Brother Ben, and all these different places out here. And you think about that, people, the street ministry. I know one weekend that they said they had 5 saved, so I'd say conservatively 10, and you're probably looking at 10, 20, 30. The school ministry, I know there's been over 30 children saved in the school ministry. The bus ministry's had 10 or at least 10 saved. You say, what is that? You bragging? No, what I'm saying is a local New Testament church is supposed to be evangelizing sinners, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. And I mean, well over 200, 300 people a year are getting saved just through those ministries. I want to be a part of a church that's really doing something, that really believes what they say they believe, and they're out doing something about it. And you've got the edification of this church, saints here. You've got the preaching and the teaching and the Word of God and singing. Singing is edifying to one another. And then just exalting the Lord Jesus Christ when it comes to worship, the praise that He gets. The preaching exalts Jesus Christ. Our praying exalts Jesus Christ. Then you look at our walk outside this church. We need to have a walk that's separated. That'll exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's consecrated. Separated is things that we're not doing. Consecrated is our holiness to God. And then just as a witness, this church just needs to be a witness exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. Things like, just like that liquor by the drink. I mean, that's exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, because what we're doing is, regardless, even if it was going to bring money in the town of Huntsville, we were still going to be against it because it's the right thing to do. That's just a testimony of exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd rather be poor as bring that stuff in here because of what's right. Amen. And that's what a local New Testament church is supposed to do. It's supposed to be edifying one another. It's supposed to be evangelizing sinners. It's supposed to be exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we do. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I say all that to say this. Not everybody in this church is the same. We're just not the same. We're not built the same. We don't think the same. You think back, Brother Eubanks, when Brother Eubanks was here, sitting down here in his first couple of rows right there. And I remember one service there where Brother Eubanks got up and took off running down the middle of the aisle, yelling and screaming. And you say, well, so I believe that's just in the flesh. I don't know if it was or not, but I know this, that's his personality. Amen. I mean, honestly, you think about it, and you try to imagine this. Can you imagine Brother Roy doing something like that? You say, well, Brother Roy just ain't spiritual. Yeah, I beg to differ. Brother Roy's got a different personality. And whether it's a guy that's just going to sit there or it's a guy running up down the aisles, the point is we're different. We do things different. Preachers are different. You got Brother Gary Boyett. He's different. I mean, I remember sitting here one night and Brother Gary walking down there, opening that door in the middle of preaching and screaming out there and hollering out there and just praising the Lord. You know, everybody ain't going to do that when they preach. It's just different. People are different. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, to get started here, this is what I'm talking about. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting verse 1. The Bible says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away under these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts." Now look at these verses right here. "There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all." So in those three verses right there, you've got diversities of gifts, you've got differences of administrations, and you've got diversities of operations. What is he saying? He's saying people are different. There's different things for different people, and they're all going to do different things. But every one of them say they're all by the same Spirit. And the point is this. People are different. People do different things. I can sit around here right now and look around this church, just around the people that I know, people that I've worked with and done something for God in this church. They have got different gifts that they've been given. We've done this fifth quarter this last year, and you've got Sister Bridget, been a blessing. I mean, there's things that she done for me for that fifth quarter that I just look at and I think, man, it's just Bam, 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 right down the line. And you know what she's good at? She's real good at organizing things like that. She's real good at making sure everything's right. It's the way it's supposed to be. Reminding me, did you get this done? Did you get this done? And me looking at her in line and say, I got it, Bridget. And then getting on and calling Beth. Beth, did you? Now, see, that's Beth. She's going to take care of everything. She's got a whole different way things are. I mean, she's just the way she works for me to be a blessing to me. Just a blessing. I don't even know where to start. During that fifth quarter, thinking about you got tables that's got to be set down there and food and Miss Angie taking care of all that stuff. You say, what? That's just different people with different things that's going on in the church that people don't even know about. Last night, the phone calls that went on about the bus ministry last night and the text that's going back and forth. You're sitting here this morning, don't even have a clue about none of that stuff. I don't want you to. I mean, it's not no big deal. But it's just, okay, Brother Brian calls me. Hey, I got this. My van's still down. They didn't get a part. You want me to take your bus? You want to pick up these people up here? Yeah, I'm not for sure if they come on Sunday mornings. Let me call Brother Brandon. I call Brother Brandon, send a text over there. Brother Brandon says, Brother Mike's running in the morning. Can Brother Brian say? And it's just back and forth, all that stuff. Then you know what happens? It all gets done. You say, what is that? It's different people doing different things, but all with the same spirit. And hold your place there and look at Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. I think about, and like I say, I'm not trying to exclude anybody, but there's just people that just help me trying to do things. We get ready to go to church camp. Miss Cheryl. Every year, Miss Cheryl's got those bunks rolled out. And putting those kids in the right bed and this bed and everybody coming to her. I want this person with me and we want a room together. And then next week, well, we got in a fight. We don't like each other no more. Put me over here and this and put me over here and this and this and this and this. And dealing with all that stuff. And not one time do I ever have to think anything about it. So what is it? She's got a gift of organizing. It's just a blessing. In Exodus chapter 31, the Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, see, I have called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship to devise cunning works, to work in gold and in silver and brass and cutting of stones, to set them and in carving of timber, to work in all manner of workmanship. That's Exodus 31. And what he's doing there, he's talking about the tabernacle. And the Spirit of God came on somebody and gave them an ability to be able to carve and to be able to all this workmanship that they do. And cutting the stones and all that stuff just to build this tabernacle. Look at verse 6. And behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach of the tribe. I wish they had gave them better names. Whatever happened to Bruce and Leroy and John and... And behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahisamach, and of the tribe of Dan. And in their hearts of all that are wise-hearted, and in the hearts of all that are wise-hearted, I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee. So you see, that's the Spirit of God that's given them that gift. Look at 28, Exodus 28. Exodus chapter 28. And just making these garments for Aaron. It says this, Exodus 28:1, take thou unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother for glory and for beauty. And thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And the point is, he's making all these different gifts and he's giving all these people, different people, different things by the Spirit of God. So that God made you the way you are for a reason, so you can glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you're made that way for. And we're all different. And he goes on to say in verse 7, in 1 Corinthians 12, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all.
For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And just to see there all the different gifts that people have, and just quickly to say this, he's talking about healing there, and he's talking about miracles. Hold your place. Look at Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. The apostolic signs are gone. They went when the apostles left, and there are not any more miracles, and there's not any more healings. Paul couldn't heal anybody at the end of his ministry. He had a guy with him that was sick, and he told him to drink a little wine for his stomach's sake and his often infirmities. And Revelation chapter 2 right there. Verse 2, Revelation 2, 2, he says, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And so what you have today is you've got a bunch of fakers that say they can heal, and they've got these miracles, and they've got all this stuff going on. You say, what do you do? Well, see if they got the goods. See if they got the goods. Let them go to the funeral home. See if they can raise somebody from the dead. Yeah. See if they can go to the hospital and cure somebody of cancer that can actually be documented. In John chapter 9, when the Lord Jesus Christ healed him of his eyesight, everybody there knew that guy, and they knew he couldn't see, then they knew he could see. Yeah. And these guys today, they're taking up, you get in this line, they're finding out what's wrong with you before you get there. And they're trying to act like you got healed, and it's all a bunch of fakers. Those people out there in California got busted out there because they were taking this money that people were sending, and they're supposed to be praying over this stuff and giving them healing and all this stuff. All they were doing was ripping those things. They had paid people to rip them envelopes open, just take the money and throw them down. They wasn't even praying over those things, and they got busted out there. And that's what you got going on today. Now go back to 1 Corinthians 12. But even when it was going on, it was differences. Verse 12, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. And he goes on down through there, and he begins to talk about the body of Christ. Now look at verse 18, he says this, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. And the point is we got different gifts. Now this is talking about the universal church, the body of Jesus Christ. But even in a local church, we're going to have diversity of gifts. We're going to be able to do different things. Now look over at 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. What I want to preach on, what I want to preach on this morning is, where do you fit in? Where do you fit in this morning? Do you know where you fit in? Because God has given you a gift, and He's given you that gift for a purpose. That purpose is to glorify Him. 1 Chronicles chapter 15. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, what's going on is David is bringing the ark back. And as David's bringing this ark back, he gets a bunch of people together to bring this back. He gets the priests, and he gets a bunch of other people there and get it all together. And as a matter of fact, he gathers all Israel together just to bring this ark back. And what you see is, in this area here, is that there's all kinds of different people doing different things. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, here's what you see. Here's what's going on. Look at verse 3. It says, and David gathered all Israel together to Jerusalem. So just get this picture here for a second. I mean, you think about this. You've got the whole nation of Israel coming together. I mean, if we just got Scott County together, 20,000 people to do something. I mean, you think about Neyland Stadium over there, 100,000 people gathered together here. He's got everybody in Israel is gathered together for this bringing the ark back. That's the situation. So you got all those people, and they're all out there, and you've got this big, I don't know how they're set up, I don't know if they're in ranks, I don't know what they're in, but just think about Neyland Stadium and just thousands of people together. And then he gets all these people together that's going to do something, they're going to participate in this, and they've got something they got to do. There's 862 people he gets together to bring this ark back. In verse 5, it says, of his brethren, 120. Verse 6, 220. Verse 7, you've got 130. Verse 8, You got 200. Verse 9, you got 80. That's 80. Verse 10, you got 112. And you go down through there and you add all that stuff up, you got 862 people just to participate in getting the ark back to where it needs to be. And so what you have is you've got thousands of people there. You got a few people here, 862 together, and then you got them all doing different things. You got ark bearers, you got singers, you got musicians there that are playing different types of instruments. You've got instructors. You've got doorkeepers. They're called in one spot, and they're called a porter in the other. That's a doorkeeper. You've got priests for an offering. You've got all these different people just to be able to get this ark back. And then when you get all that stuff together and you start bringing it back, then what you got going on is you got shouting. You got trumpets blowing. You got cymbals that's shaking together. I remember being in the military, and we'd have these parades all the time, and I mean, you got hundreds and thousands of people out on this big military field, and they're in ranks, and they're just walking by, and you got all these people set up on this stage up here, and they're all just marching by and doing the eyes right and looking over there, and then they go straight, and you got all that stuff going on. You got all these musicians and these people that's out there, and I mean, that's all just going on. That's what you got going on here. David, you talk about a celebration that's going on. He's bringing the ark back. And you've got 862 people participating in the parade. You got thousands of people just looking on. I mean, I don't know if it's a sunny day. I don't know if they've got trees and they're all in the middle of all this, if it's a big open field or what. But you've got all this stuff. There's people shouting. There's trumpets. There's cymbals. There's psalteries, which is just like a stringed instrument. You got harps. You got dancing and you got playing. And all this stuff is going on. And just a word quickly about this dancing. It's not this bumps and grinds that they got going on today. Now you look up the word dancing in the Bible and you run references like we did drinking this morning, and what you find is it's never a man and a woman dancing together. Ever. Not one time. What you have is you've got women with women and you've got men with men. And the first thing a person thinks is, well, that's a little odd, ain't it? Well, no, not when it's real what real dancing is. I mean, if you're going by the idea of what the world says dancing is, and it's sensual and all that stuff, you'd be weird, but the Bible don't have it that way. It's not sensual. Dancing in the Bible is a bunch of people that's just got a victory, and they're shouting, and they're jumping, and they're praising. The best definition I've ever been able to come up with is you just watch and see who wins the World Series. And you watch them guys when they win the World Series and they run out on that field and they're piling on top of each other and they're jumping on top of each other and they're yelling and screaming and holding their hands up. That's dancing in the Bible. That's what dancing is. And that's what they're doing is they're bringing the ark back, they're jumping, and they're praising God, and they're shouting. And that's what all is going on in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. And what you have is you've got all kinds of different people. Look at verse 18, at the end of verse 18. You've got the porters, and that's doorkeepers. And then in verse 19, you've got people that's appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. In verse 20, you've got people with the psalteries. Verse 21, you've got people with harps. In verse 22, look at this verse. And Shenaniah, chief of the Levites, was for song. How come? He instructed about the song because he was skillful. The Lord gave him a skill. They gave him an ability to do that. And then you got doorkeepers again there in verse 23. In verse 24, you got these guys that blow with the trumpets before the ark of God. And then it talks about doorkeepers again. Then at the verse 29, you've got David down there. And the Bible says he's dancing and he's playing. Verse 28, they're shouting. So you see all that stuff going on. You say, what's the point? The point is that there's a lot of people doing something. And they're not all preachers and missionaries. And they all have a job to do. And they've all got something they're supposed to be doing. And it may not be the guy that's getting up to talk. And it may not be the guy that gets the attention. It may not be the guy that everybody talks about. But they all got something to do. And there are thousands of people there. And while they're all coming together for one purpose, that is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Or glorify God, the Old Testament there, which is a type of us glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. And as a local New Testament church, that's what we're supposed to do. And my question is, where do you fit in this morning? What kind of gift have you got? Oh, preacher, I ain't got no... Yeah, you do. I mean, don't brag on it. The Bible says if you got a gift and God gave it to you, why would you brag anyway? And some of you got looks. Some of you got a gift to talk. Some of you got a gift to sing. Some of you got a gift to teach.
Some of you got abilities. Some of you got money. Some people in here has got all these different types of gifts that God's given them. And the question is, where do you fit in? What are you doing with your gift? Are you bringing glory to God with the gift that you have? That's what God wants to know. He said, I've put them all in the body of Christ for my purpose. And there is something you can do. I try to let these kids, these young people realize, you know what? All of you ain't going to be called to be a preacher. You're not going to be called to be a missionary. But you know what you can do? You can be a lawyer, and you can glorify God as a lawyer. You can be a doctor, and you can glorify God as a doctor. You can be a teacher, and you can glorify God as a teacher. And there's different things. You can be a housewife, and you can glorify God as a housewife. There's all these different things that you can do. There's ways you can glorify God. You can glorify God with singing. There's people in here that's been given the gift to sing, and God, you know what he wants you to do with that? You say, well, I'm just not that good a singer. Oh, come on. You know you are. You know God's blessed you. Don't brag about it, but at the same time, if God's blessed you with a gift to sing and you won't get up and sing for His glory and His honor and His praise and be right with God when you sing and ask God to let you be a blessing to some people that need some help, then what's wrong? Now, there's more pride about that right there than there is thinking that you got a good gift. And God says, I've given you this and I've given you this and there's a purpose for it. Not so you can hoard everything up and I've made you smart. Not so you can get rich and keep it all together, but I've made you smart so you can use it to glorify me. And there's three things here that I want you to look at. First of all is this right here. There's no job that's too little or too big when it comes to glorifying God. You've got a doorkeeper that's in the middle of this. David said, I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. A doorkeeper's at the bottom of the pile. I mean, a doorkeeper is kind of like a nursery worker. There just ain't a whole lot you're going to get glory out of. And you've got the bottom there. You've got this doorkeeper here. I mean, you think about people keeping that nursery. I don't see how they do it. I mean, it'd be frustrating. I know there's people, it seems like every time we have a big meeting, you're the one that has to go down to the nursery and you miss it. You come up, did you hear that message? No, I was in the nursery. It's the best one he's preached all week. Well, praise the Lord. So what? It's just stuff you got to do. God's giving you the ability to be able to do it. A doorkeeper is at the lowest part there in this whole deal right here. And not only have you got the lowest part, you've also got the top. You got the king. You got King David in the middle of this deal. And King David's going down through there and he's in the middle of it. From the top to the bottom, no job's too big, no job's too small. But I can tell you this, the doorkeeper was out there just as much as David was out there. The gathered people that gathered around Israel showed up just like everybody else showed up. And it was all for the glory of God. And if you had to sit here this morning and say, where do I fit into all this stuff down here at Trinity Baptist Church? What would you say? Well, brother, here's what I do. I've got this list of names. And I pray, and I do this, and I call people, and I do this. And well, praise the Lord. And if that's what you're doing for God, then praise the Lord. But if you're not doing anything for the Lord, and you don't even know what gift God's given you, then you ought to pray about it. Say, God, I don't even know. I haven't thought about it. Have I got some gifts? Is there something I can do? Some of you people in here, you are real good at just being a help to somebody. You just call somebody up and say, hey, heard you're having a rough time about this, or you've got a problem with this, or you've got some plumbing problems, or you've got driveway problems, or your house is falling apart, or whatever it is. Hey, let me come over and I can help you with this. Just you got some people that are just good at doing things like that, but they could never get up here and ever preach a word. Because you know what? They'd be scared to death. But you get them down there in their element where they're sitting there and they're being a blessing to somebody for the glory of God. And the other guy right here that knows nothing about it and don't know how he's going to fix it, don't know how to ask somebody, don't have the money to pay for it, and somebody comes in there and just a blessing because God gave him a gift. You know what that is? That's bringing glory to Jesus Christ. And they say, well, how can I pay you here? Brother, don't worry about it. Just glorify God. I'm just doing it for Him. God bless me to be able to do it, and it's just what I'm going to do. You say, well, that's not a preacher. That's not a missionary. That's just different ways in the body of Christ where you can edify one another and you can be a blessing to people and give God the glory for doing it. And no job's too little, no job's too big. You think about all the different people here at this church, it just seems like every morning you come in on a Sunday morning and you see Brother Stanfield sitting out there by that door. He's holding that door open every week, handing out those programs, give them out every week. Miss Katie printing them every week, and giving them out every week and doing all that stuff. And it's just a blessing. It's different people doing different things. The second thing is there's an order to stuff. Look down at verse 13. Verse 13 says, "For because ye did it not at the first..." Let's look at verse 12, just get started here. "And he said unto them, You are the chief of the fathers of the Levites. Sanctify yourselves, both ye and your brethren, that ye may bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel unto the place that I have prepared for it. For because ye did it not at the first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after that after the due order." And God's got an order of how he does things. And you look over here in chapter 13, look at verse 7. They were bringing the ark of God in before this. 13 verse 7, it says, "And they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahio drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with the singing, and with the harps, and with the psalteries, and with the timbrels, and with the cymbals, and with the trumpets." You say, what's going on? They're having the same celebration they had the second time. It's the same instruments, the same people, and David is out there and he's leading this thing. Got the same people. They're doing the same stuff. And they're doing it as hard as they can, and they love the Lord and they're trying to do right. But it just ain't the way God wants it done. The Bible says they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And you got these people that get in these praise dances and praise and worship centers and this stuff, and you know what I believe? I believe they really do love the Lord, and they're trying to do it. They're thinking about Jesus Christ. But it's not the way God wants it done. Amen. God says there's a due order to how this thing's supposed to work. And so what you have to do is you've got to realize, man, I've got a gift. God's given it to me. And you know what? There's an order to this. There's a way I've got to do these things. There's a way I've got to sing to bring glory to God. And there's a way I can sing and bring glory to myself. And there's a way I can get up here and I can make men think something about me that they shouldn't be thinking about me. And you ever get on YouTube and get one of these dance teams that's in church and watch those things? It's a mess. And you know God ain't in the middle of that stuff. Now, there's a due order to things. And the reason that Uzzah was killed is because they didn't do it the way God said to do it. And the last thing is this right here. Look over in 1 Chronicles chapter 15 and look it down here at verse 29. This takes into account just about everybody. And this right here finishes it up. The one thing you notice in this deal is not everyone's enjoying it. Look at verse 29. It says, "And it came to pass that the ark of the covenant of the Lord came to the city of David, that Michal, the daughter of Saul, looking out of the window, saw the king David dancing and playing, and she despised him in her heart." You know what that's a picture of? That's a picture of a backslidden Christian. That's a picture of somebody that will look at somebody in the church and say, "They just make me sick. And they've treated me like this, and they've done this to me, and they didn't come and check on me, they've checked on everybody else, and you're mad at this one over that, or they done me wrong, or this one done me wrong, and you can't get a blessing. You can't get a blessing at all because of some heart problems where somebody's sitting here and they're aggravated with somebody else and they won't get it right, and you've got people that stayed bitter for years because something went on, and they ain't been able to glorify God. They ain't been able to love the Lord. They ain't been able to enjoy the fellowship and just getting around and the fact that they're in a good church and to be able to enjoy those things. They've gotten together, but they're always bitter, and they've always got a negative attitude, and it's always me against them, and it's always, well, we do it like this when we do it, and they do it like that, and this guy do this, and they do this, and they're just bitter. And they can't enjoy nothing. And they've always got a negative attitude. And you're around those people and they're always got something bad to say about somebody. You have a meeting and you say, "Man, boy, so-and-so preached good, didn't he? Well, I didn't really like what he said about this." You know, they preach for an hour and a half and they point out one thing that they didn't like. And then you get somebody that they sit there and they preach for an hour and a half. And this person sat there and enjoyed the singing and have enjoyed the preaching. And they got to the altar and they got some help. And they're excited about what's going on. And then you got somebody that's sitting there and they don't enjoy it. They're aggravated. They said something they didn't like. They didn't bring in the right people. They didn't sing the right people. I mean, the right people didn't get to sing or whatever the problem is. And you say, what is it? It's just like Michal. The Bible says about Michal, after this right here happened over in Samuel, says that God made her barren. And that's what will happen to a Christian when they get bitter and their heart's bitter. They become barren. They don't see no fruit in their life. They don't lead people to the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't have a heart for leading people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens is, as a local church comes together, we can do one of two things. We can get in, we can enjoy it, we can embrace it, we can know what a local church is for, we can find out what our gift and what our niche is in this thing, and we can say, you know what? God, help me. Here's some things that I have in my life, God, that you've given me the ability to do, and I'm pretty good at it. How can I take this, God, and you get glory for it? And God will begin to give you some ideas. Ask some people what you could do. Ask some things just to figure out what could be done and how things could be taken care of. And you can embrace it. Or there's also a time in your life where you can get bitter and you can get frustrated and you can get mad and you can get mad at God or you can be mad at somebody else. Or you just get distracted because of the world and somebody can come in and they can preach a message. You ever been sitting there and somebody preach? And you're sitting there, I can remember, I mean, I've done this plenty of times. I'm sitting there listening to a message, and I'm thinking, man, where's he going with this? What is this guy doing? This don't make a bit of sense. And I'm sitting there, and I'm listening to this, and he's going on, and I'm thinking, man, you need to land this thing, man. What's going on? What time is it? How much longer has he got? We're going to have to endure the end. And the guy gives an altar call, and there's 50 people come to the altar. And you're sitting here thinking, what did I just miss? What's wrong with me? And it's a bad heart. And you're sitting there, and a guy will preach, and you're thinking, ah, man, same old stuff. And you see people go to the altar, and they're getting right with God, and they got a blessing. And it's all because of their own heart and how they're listening and wanting to listen to the message. And Michael here, she's top there of somebody that's just bitter with life. And what God gave her and the way it all turned out, and she's despised David in her heart. It makes me sick. Look at him out there. And you know how it is, you see people like that, they make me sick. I'm just tired of this. And the way they do and what she says and how she acts and she cocks her head and all that stuff. And they get bitter and they get aggravated, or God's done something in their life that they didn't like, and it's hard to ever get a blessing out of a message. I'm going to end it with this story right here. A guy named Russell O'Quinn. Russell O'Quinn loved airplanes. Brother Pete gave me this testimony not long ago of a guy, and I listened to it one day. And when he was 5 or 6 years old, his mom left to go somewhere for a couple of weeks, and his dad had to watch him. And he was pretty good at figuring out stuff to do for a little while, but then he realized after a couple of days, I got some work I got to get done. So what he decided to do was take his little boy up on top of the roof and show him how he's going to put a roof on, re-roof the house and put shingles on it. And he didn't know what to do with him. So what he did is he took a hammer and a nail, and he took a nail and he hammered a nail into his pants and the seat of his breeches and tied him to the roof so he wouldn't fall off. And he said what happened at that time was, he said, I sat up there on that roof, and he said, my dad was wanting me to look and see what real work's all about, learn how to do something. He said, but all I could do, we was close to the airport. He said, I'd see them planes take off. He said, and there was something, a dream got put inside of me. He said, I never even knew it was there until then. He said, and I never could get rid of it. I wanted to be a pilot. And he said, as he grew up, he ended up taking pilot's license, took pilot lessons there, got his pilot's license. And this was probably back in the 20s, 30s, somewhere back in there. And it was a lot easier to get your license back then. And then he said what he had an aunt that was a weirdo. And said that, he said, you know how it is. Y'all sitting here looking at me and sleep. Listen, you got people in your family, and you go to family reunion, you think are weird, right? You know what I'm talking about. And the sad thing is that they may think that about you. You may be the weird one. But he said he's there, and he said she's always carrying her Bible and reading it and all this stuff. He said, I just thought, man, I don't want none of this stuff. He said, and one day what she did is she... His last year after he graduated high school, he went to see him. All the family got together. And she said, I got a proposition for you. And he thought, okay, here it goes. She's getting ready to push religion down my throat. And so what happened basically was that she said, I'm going to pay for your first year of college. And you love airplanes. If you get a degree, you'll be able to use that. And he was like, well, praise the Lord. Well, he didn't say praise the Lord. He's like, well, great. And he thought, this is cool. So she gave him a whole year's cash for that school out there. He got out there, he took half of it and bought him an airplane.
And the other half, he paid for the first semester of college. And when he got there, he realized there's a trick that he didn't know. And it was a Bible college. So he ended up at a Bible college. And he ended up getting saved. And he said he ended up getting saved. And there was a guy that was with him there. And he was helping him fly that plane. He was teaching that plane the day he was going to let him go off. And there was a certain acrobatic move, because that's what he did, was acrobats in these planes. And he had taught this guy how to fly, but he didn't do no acrobats. Well, this guy decided he was going to do it. So on his flight, where he was, this guy is supposed to be watching him while he's going to get his license, he takes off and he tries to do the acrobatic move. And he dies. The plane crashed and burned. He said it really tore him up. And he realized that should have been him and could have been in there and all that stuff. So he gets saved. And he gets into the military there. And he becomes a pilot. All these new test pilots, his stealth bomber, all this new stuff they're doing now. 80 years old, he's still doing all this stuff. And he's got all these young guys, and he takes them up, and he does all his acrobatic moves with them, and scares them, you know, all these big lieutenants and stuff, like off that movie Top Gun, just like that stuff. And he said what he did was, one morning there was a major there. He said, "Now who's going to take us up in the morning?" He said, and he was sitting back. He's 80 years old, and he said, that guy back there. And that major started laughing. And he said, "Well, does he need us to help him get on the plane? Is he going to bring his cane?" You know, was laughing at him. He said, and I heard him. He said, and I let it go through one ear and not hardly out the other. So he got up the next morning and he was teaching him this stuff. He had to teach him first, and they'd never been in nothing like that fast, the G-force and all that stuff. And he said he took that major first and took him up, spun him around in every which way he could take him. And he said he got him out and said that major come out, and he'd done puke two times that morning inside that plane, and said he was trying to walk, he's all over the place. He said, and I couldn't help but just think about that. And he said, I ran over and leaned over to him and told him, I said, you need my cane? And that's the type of guy this was. He said, but I got saved. It's the best thing ever happened to me. And he said, I'm around a lot of other people that's done more than me in this stuff. He said, you know what's happened to them? He said, they're miserable. He said, they're older than I am. And they realize it all comes to an end. He said, God, let me do every dream I ever wanted. He said, I've done them all. He said, and I realized I went up in the air one morning above the clouds and saw the sun coming up. And it's beautiful. And it dawned on me, God has let me do everything I've ever dreamed of. And it's just not satisfying. And every dream that you have turns into a memory. And those men that were older than him realized it was over. And they were bitter. And they didn't have nothing to look forward to. He said, and the sad thing is, there's a lot of Christians, and God's give you a gift, and he's going to let you have your dreams, and you're going to do that stuff, but you're never going to do nothing for God. God's give you a gift this morning. My question is, where do you fit in? And are you fitting in? Let's all stand.